Christian Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Finding Our Muchness, Inheriting Audacious Boldness from Women of the Bible by Kim M. Moss. Foreword by Patricia King. Narrated by Lisa Larson. Foreword by Cindy Jacobs. Kim Moss has written a powerful book that is timely for the exact moment we find ourselves living in. I have heard several prophetic voices give the word that this is a season in history when women are arising to be a voice to their generation. One cannot be a voice without recognizing that there is so much more to each woman than they realize. This book will expand your understanding of the powerful abilities and talents God has provided for you. I resonated with Kim's stories when people would stand up and shout that we were heretics for preaching the gospel as women. I have also heard stories of women Pentecostal pioneers who had to duck for cover when bullets were flying through their meetings because of their faith. In those days, being a spirit-filled woman preacher was not for the faint of heart. We stand upon the shoulders of great women in all spheres of society who have gone before us. Women who have gone to nations and made history. Kim has chosen several such women to highlight, who went from living an ordinary life to the muchness this book is all about. She gives unique points and insights about a personal favorite of mine, Deborah. Deborah literally saved her people when their country was in ruin and occupied. If we think we have it rough culturally, she ruled in a time when women had no rights. It is astounding to me that she became a judge and ruler. Some of the other women Kim writes about are the daughters of Zelophehad. These biblical women affected the laws of inheritance to this day. I am so glad. This book will bridge the generations. Its chapters are full of truths that gave me fresh courage to stand in my own personal calling. Kim Moss has done all of us women a favor by writing it. Enjoy. Cindy Jacobs, Generals International. Foreword by Patricia King. Dr. Kim Moss is bold in faith and love, intelligent, beautiful inside and out, and willing to be fully transparent regarding her journey and discoveries. As a woman in frontline ministry, she has faced many challenges and has gloriously overcome them. This is more than a book. It is a mentorship manual for you. As you listen to the chapters, you will be invited to discover the fullness of all God has destined for you to fulfill. You are not an ordinary human being. You are a supernatural being in Christ, and there is much about you that God wants you to discover. Throughout biblical and church history, we note many brave, faith-filled, and courageous women who brought light to the darkness, hope to the hopeless, order to chaos, and solutions to problems. They discovered that God was greater than any challenge they faced and any obstacle in their way. They discovered their muchness. Have you discovered yours yet? My favorite woman in the Bible is Deborah. She lived during challenging and oppressed years due to the disobedience of God's people. It was in this time of unrest and hardship, however, that Deborah was called and set into place as an instrument that would aid in bringing about a turnaround for her nation. She would have faced the same resistance many leaders experience today. You cannot be on the front lines and avoid demonic assaults and attacks from the carnal flesh of the human race, and sadly, even the flesh of fellow believers. Like others, I'm sure she was tempted with feelings of uncertainty and doubt. What gave her the courage to stand, persevere, and gain the victory? What gave her the fortitude to overcome every temptation and receive confidence to obey all the Lord called her to? I believe it was because she found her muchness. Many years ago, I came to a deep place of conviction and revelation that introduced me to my personal muchness. I was staring point blank at personal failures, inadequacies, and disappointments. During that season, I felt small, incapable, and attacked on every side. As brutal as that season was, this was when the greatest revelation of my journey in Christ filled every part of my being. God plus nothing equals everything I need. What a relief! I had everything I needed to face every battle, every disappointment, every challenge, and every invitation from the Holy Spirit. I discovered my muchness, not only for that season, but for all time. God is not a respecter of persons. He is available to every one of His children, and He is always what we need in every circumstance. He will always be our muchness. As you listen, you will discover a number of keys as you glean from the lives of women who have gone before. You will be mentored and called to discover your muchness. Enjoy the book. Enjoy the journey. Patricia King, author, minister, media host, and producer. Introduction. When I was a young girl, I did not know I was powerful. I did not know I had the power to change my life, my relationships, my world, and the world around me. I did not know it because I was kept from knowing it by all the unspoken rules and unnamed pressures that shape the lives of women in our world. Like so many others, I came to believe deep down in my bones that I had to live with a broken heart, broken relationships, and a broken world. But then, I met Jesus and His Holy Spirit. He changed my mind from the heart out. He changed my world. And He filled me with the power of the Holy Spirit to bring that same change everywhere He sends me. Everywhere I go, all around the world, I talk to women who are hungry for more of the goodness they can sense God intends for them. They want to see God move in and through their lives. They want to participate in advancing the kingdom of God. This is no surprise. God is bringing revival to the nations, exactly as He has promised. There is a revival move of God coming, and within that move is another move. A move of God among women, all kinds of women, in all kinds of situations and stations of life. The women's movement began many years ago, coming in waves, moved by the winds of the Spirit that are blowing over the face of the deep. In contrast, it is easy to see that another wave is already forming and gathering great strength. The feminist movement has captured the attention and involvement of many young women in my country. The radical feminist movement sanctions, and even at times joins, in the oppression of men, the victimization of the unborn, and the persecution of the followers of Christ. That is not the movement of which I and prophets around the world are speaking. When one oppressed people group rises out of their oppression, only to turn and crush another people group with the power they have gained, God cannot be in it. It isn't who He is. In other words, it is not in His nature as the life-giving Creator, the good, good Father, who has made us for the abundant life of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. I was ministering in a tornado shelter during the 2017 Women's March in D.C., in a rare moment of abandonment, I wrote an emotional response on Facebook. Here is an excerpt. I have been ministering for years to women whose lives have been wrecked by broken promises, financial disparities, educational inequalities, governmental injustice, infidelity and betrayal, sexual and emotional abuse, and trauma from every kind of evil. I have wept with and for them. I have stood with and for them. I have suffered with and for them. I have witnessed many, but not enough, healed, restored, and set free. When I heard the speeches at the Women's March, I was disappointed. I was disappointed because I can feel a women's movement coming on the horizon, and I welcome it. But this is not it. This is not what I've been waiting for. The right to abort a child is not the main issue facing women in the world today, where most women have no right to choose not to be mutilated, not to be burned, not to be married at 9 years old, not to be raped, not to be sex trafficked, not to be left out to die because they were born female, and not to be enslaved rather than sent to school. I'm looking for something greater, nobler, something worthy of my gender and the evil perpetrated against us all over the world since Eve. I'm looking for those who have voices of influence and dignity and wisdom that cannot be ignored and that carry into all nations to protect women's bodies from rape and torture and forced sexual exploitation. I'm looking for a movement that makes way for little girls all over the world to grow up with a choice of schools and future endeavor. I'm looking for a movement of women that will protect the choice of women to marry when they are truly of age, if and when they desire such a union. I'm looking for a movement of women who conduct themselves with respect, brilliance, dignity, and eloquence. Women who understand that to create a real movement that transforms culture and shapes history requires real guts to take real risks and make real sacrifices on behalf of real women everywhere. Did you get that last part? To create a real movement that transforms culture and shapes history requires real guts to take real risks and make real sacrifices on behalf of real women everywhere. Guts. Risks. Sacrifices. The change God wants from us and for us and through us cannot come apart from us being courageous and acting boldly. My all-time favorite prophetic movie is Alice in Wonderland, the one from 2010 with Johnny Depp. There are three main characters, the Red and White Queens, sisters, and Alice. The Red Queen has been ridiculed her whole life for her big head. Unable to accept herself, and unable to get past what she feels is a personal injustice, she grabs for illegitimate power and self-promotion, destroying all hope of ever gaining what she truly desires most, to be loved and valued. The White Queen is blessed with beauty, talent, and favor. She becomes the target of her sister's bitter insecurity and envy, who falsely and unfairly imprisons her so that she may shine. The kingdom, once ruled by the generous and gracious White Queen, is now ruled by the cruel and controlling Red Queen. The kingdom of Underland suffers violence and devastation. Alice has forgotten who she is. She used to have dreams. She used to practice believing 6 impossible things before breakfast. She has forgotten she is a champion of the kingdom, created to slay the terrible dragon. Yet, tragically, when the kingdom desperately needs her, she emphatically declares, "I'm not slaying anything." Standing amidst the land devastated by fire and destruction, the Mad Hatter speaks, "You don't slay. You are not the same as you were before. You were much more muchier. You've lost your muchness." He points his finger at her belly, her middle, her guts, and backbone, where the strength of identity must be, diagnosing her. In there, something is missing. Muchness. That is what this book is about. Finding our muchness. Getting back what is missing. The power, force, or essence with the confidence of who God says that we are and what He has called us to do that got lost in the confusion, troubles, and uncertainties of life. We were not born to find a comfortable place and stay there. We were born to be champions, to push back the darkness, and to advance the kingdom. We are not called to envy, jealousy, and backbiting power struggles, but to stand together as a force to be reckoned with, defying the gods of this age. And we can have it if we want it. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says we are to love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your me'od. Me'od is Hebrew for muchness. It is literally very or very much, and connotes your total capacity, the fullness of who you are, with all your God-given power and force. Think about it. If you and I were not created with muchness, God would not command us to love Him with it. It is who we are, what is in us, and how we love God and accomplish everything for which we were created. God is about to move in unprecedented ways among the people group called female. Women will be released into their God-designed purpose in unprecedented numbers. Some of us are being called to preach. Some of us are being called to write books. Some of us are being called to the nations. Some of us are being called to plant churches. Some of us are being called back to school. Some of us are being called to government and politics. Some of us are being called to reform the social welfare and child protective services on behalf of children. Some of us are being called to reform the mental health care system. Some of us are being called to reform the education system. Some of us are being called to advocate for women, the unborn, sex trafficked victims, child brides, the lost, the forgotten, and the voiceless. The list is endless. There is room for all of us because there is a need for each of us. We are living in a strategic time in history. At strategic times in salvation history, God has chosen women and empowered them with His Spirit to carry out His will in extraordinary ways. He chose Mary to give birth to the Savior. He chose another Mary to be the first apostle to proclaim the good news of His resurrection. And He chose women in the early church to pastor, teach, and proclaim the gospel. Women were co-workers with the Apostle Paul and joint heirs together with Christ and their brothers in the faith. And at the dawn of the greatest revival since the day of Pentecost, He bestowed on a humble woman, Agnes Osman, the privilege and responsibility of being the first to experience and proclaim the Pentecostal baptism of the Spirit in the 20th century. Throughout the century, He called countless women and empowered them to fulfill both humble and high-profile assignments. In the 20th century, Spirit-filled women began to discover that these women were not exceptions to God's plan, but instead were His prototypes for God's woman. Each chapter of this book is really a small book in a larger frame. I will tell you up front, I do not begin each chapter with a clever anecdote meant to thrill or convince you that by 3 or 5 or 12 easy steps, you can reach the pinnacle of success. I don't begin each chapter in any particular way at all. Each woman and each story is unique. Sometimes I may begin rather abruptly, jumping right in, feeling an urgency to get to the good part, the part where the Holy Spirit is highlighting how this woman's courage is averting crisis, saving her people, and always moving the kingdom forward. Sometimes I tell the story in a more narrative fashion, allowing the Holy Spirit to tell the stories without added noise or nicety in ways He highlights them. Sometimes I tell the story in pragmatic fashion, allowing the Holy Spirit to highlight practical issues and applications for our lives. In every telling, my heart is to tell these real-life stories in ways that honor the lives of the women in every generation, yours and mine included. I have done my best to follow my hunches, nudged by the Lord through prayer and thoughtful reflection, for the placement of each story as makes the most sense to me. I ask you, however, to follow yours while listening to them. You know best both where you are and what you most need in the moment. Pray, and be free to listen to them in or out of order. But I would ask this. Listen with your makeup off, ready to get down into the dirty with each chapter, relishing and savoring the stories and life messages therein. Each tells the story of a woman who had to come to terms with her identity and found her muchness. They are real, flesh and blood women, but their beauty is not just skin deep. They are women who advanced the kingdom courageously and cunningly, defying cultural, religious, and gender traditions, as well as the systems of the world that were arrayed against them. They were champions. Every one of them had to take a risk to become who they were meant to be and accomplish what they were called to do. To take that risk, they had to find their muchness. You will have to do the same. If that makes you nervous, just think about Jesus. He took a risk on all of us. Before we were born, he knew us. Before we were born, he planned a purpose for our lives. He gave his body and his blood to secure it for us. So I ask you, are you ready to find your muchness? I know that for some, that sounds threatening and intimidating. But you do not need to be afraid. If you can hear the call to move into your muchness, then you can be confident that the Spirit is empowering you to answer that call. Would you be hearing these words right now if this were not true? 1. Throw out the bondwoman. Sarah's story. Genesis chapters 12 through 17 and 21. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. Nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Galatians chapter 4, verses 22 and 30, New King James Version. Sinking face down on the carpet, in a puddle of snot and tears, I confessed my doubts, fear, and insecurity to three astonished friends. Hadn't I believed the word of the Lord and left everything, my nursing career, my comfort, my neatly planned life, to serve the call of God that had suddenly and unexpectedly broken in those many years ago? I was serving the church full time. I went to school and studied hard to earn a master's and then a doctoral degree. I had diligently prepared for this very moment. After 19 long years, the door abruptly opened to the nations, and where before I had stood before handfuls and hundreds, I now found myself standing before thousands. Suddenly, I felt like an imposter. Suddenly, I was intensely intimidated and afraid. I was sure that at any moment, the people who invited me into this position would discover that I was unqualified and send me home ashamed. I was afraid I was not intelligent enough, pretty enough, articulate enough, anointed enough. I struggled hard. I cried a lot. I prayed hard. Did I mention I cried a lot? You know, the snotty, ugly cry. I was filled with an almost paralyzing fear before every ministry engagement. This went on for months. Then I discovered during this time that there is a real thing called imposter syndrome. Psychologists tell me the imposter syndrome is a psychological term referring to a pattern of behavior where people doubt their accomplishments and have a persistent, often internalized fear of being exposed as a fraud. I started asking the Lord, where did this come from? When did this begin? How did it take root in me? One day in prayer, the Lord brought to mind an old memory. I was in the third grade. A man came to our school, and some students were dismissed from regular classes to meet with the man. I was one of those students. I wasn't told why I was chosen, but I was given a pass to meet with him. Over a few days, I got to tell the man stories, draw pictures, and answer many questions. I had so much fun. I felt special. At the end of those days, the man brought my mom into the office and spoke with her. That evening, my mom brought me into the kitchen and spoke with me. Mom explained that the man at school was testing students to see if they were eligible for the Gifted and Talented program. My teacher had felt I showed signs of giftedness and sent me for testing. You had to score a certain number of points to qualify. I came up short by half a point. In other words, I was not gifted and talented. But, Mom encouraged, the man said if you work really hard, you will always be able to keep up with the gifted and talented students. Mom wanted the best for me. It suddenly all made sense. As a third grader, I was disqualified from being allowed into the Gifted and Talented program. The teacher thought I was gifted, but on close examination, it was decided that I was not. From that moment on, I worked really hard and kept up a good performance to be counted among those who were gifted and talented. Yet in my heart, I knew the truth. I did not belong among those who were gifted. I was half a point short. I did not measure up. I was an imposter in my own eyes, driven by the pressure to perform and haunted by a deep-rooted fear and insecurity that I would be exposed and put to shame because of my lack. I needed freedom if I was going to fulfill the call on my life. I needed to be freed from the fear of myself, because that fear was keeping me from sharing God's freedom with others. I needed deliverance out of my fears into my muchness. And I am not alone. A model of faith. In the book of Galatians, Paul uses typology to juxtapose two Old Testament women, Sarah and Hagar. Typology uses a person or event from the Old Testament as a type or prefiguring of another person or event in the New Testament to explain or make a theological point. In this passage, Paul points out that bondage and freedom cannot coexist. Sarah is portrayed as a free woman. She is the one whose life became the instrument through which the prophetic promise would be fulfilled and the kingdom would be furthered. She lived by faith and received the impossible. She demonstrates that the covenant promise of God comes to us by faith, not dependent on human initiative and ingenuity, ethnicity, looks, brilliance and education, socio-political standing, or financial status. It comes by the Spirit, through whom the impossible becomes possible. It comes by grace through faith. The author of Hebrews remembers Sarah as a model of faith. By faith, Sarah herself received power to conceive, even when she was past the age, since she considered him faithful who had promised. Can we stop right here for just a moment? You may be thinking, I'm too old now. It's too late for me to be a part of whatever women's movement thing she is going to tell me about. I would like to say with great tenderness and passion that you are never too old until you are with Jesus in eternity. God is moving in our generation, and a generation in the Spirit is not an age group. It is an era of time. Now is that time. You too.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?